North Carolina's vital role in ensuring the people had a Bill of Rights. Guest essayist at NorthCarolinaHistory.org. Aside from the federal constitution, North Carolina has had three state constitutions since separation from Great Britain. One in 1776, one in 1868, and one in 1971. Although different, the North Carolina constitutions have similar passages, and it is evident how elements of the 1776 Constitution were incorporated into the 1868 Constitution and how many parts of the 1868 Constitution were incorporated into the 1971 Constitution. Each version has a Declaration of Rights, albeit the number of declarations is different. All three, however, include a reminder that the study of history can affect current policy. A frequent recurrence to fundamental principles is absolutely necessary to preserve the blessings of liberty. The 1971 State Constitution of North Carolina is the governing document of Tar Heels. During the past several presidential elections, North Carolina has been described as a purple or battleground state. As more people move to the old North state for work or retirement, pundits are often unsure if the state will lean to the left or to the right in an upcoming election. North Carolina has been a battleground state and a determining factor in national debates many times. The 1787 through 89 debates over ratifying the federal constitution offer an example of North Carolina's long-standing role in our country's political history. During the debates, the state's population was divided over the necessity of a United States Constitution and what became known as the Bill of Rights. North Carolina refused to ratify the Constitution without the promise of a Bill of Rights, fearing that a federal government would become too powerful without it. The Bill of Rights would protect citizens' individual liberties from government. After the framers drafted the Constitution at the 1787 Philadelphia Convention, the document was submitted to respective state ratification conventions for approval. In order for the new union to be formed, nine states had to ratify the Constitution. Nine states did so, and soon after, two more gave approval for a total of 11. North Carolina was not one of these states. North Carolina became one of only two states to hold out on ratifying the Constitution and joining the Union. In North Carolina, there was much debate between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists over whether or not the state should ratify the Constitution. James Iredell, using the pseudonym Marcus, explained the Constitution's meaning and pointed out the necessity of its adoption. Tar Heel Federalists such as Iredell and William Davy believed the general government needed more energy, such as more authority to tax and be able to have an army to defend the fledgling nation. A strong anti-federalist sentiment, however, remained in North Carolina. Many from the Tar Heel state remembered the parliamentary abuses before the Revolutionary War and questioned giving more authority to what would become the federal government. Anti-Federalists Willie Jones and Judge Samuel Spencer questioned handing any more power over from the individuals and the states to the general government. Unlike other states, there were two state ratification conventions in North Carolina. One was in Hillsborough, 1788, and the other in Fayetteville, 1789. Many historians consider North Carolina's ratification convention minutes to be the most revealing and balanced regarding the debate between Federalists and Anti-Federalists. In most states, Federalists paid for transcribers, and many times convention minutes give the impression of erudite Federalists engaging Anti-Federalist ignorance. The Hillsborough minutes instead reveal a sophisticated exchange among delegates with opposing beliefs. The Hillsborough Convention offered opportunities for leading Federalists and Anti-Federalists to put forth their arguments. Iredell, a key Federalist who had gained widespread respect during the American Revolution for challenging William Blackstone's ideas regarding parliamentary sovereignty, had been declaring the necessity of the document. He showcased great oratorical skill and answered many anti-federal questions concerning the nature of the Constitution and the threat it made regarding individual liberty. He championed the document as a protector of rights because it incorporated rights into the document by limiting the central government's power. Willie Jones led the anti-federalists, however. Samuel Spencer became their spokesman. Anti-federalists distrusted the central government and believed states' rights best protected individual liberties. After debating for 11 days, it became clear the Constitution would not be ratified.